The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
It's not acceptable to call me a nigger.
It's not acceptable to call me a speck.
To call me a chink.
To call me a fag.
It's not acceptable to call me a kike.
It's not acceptable to call me a retard or call yourself or your friends retarded when they do something foolish.
The R word is the same as every minority slur. Treat it that way and don't use it.
Spread the word to end the word.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
What we gonna do is go back, dog. Rewind.
This week on the Serious Side.
Who's more likely to run for president in 2016, you or Secretary Clinton?
I think we may run as a team. I'm only joking, obviously. I don't know whether I'm going to run, and Hillary doesn't know whether she's going to run.
There's a lot of truth and humor, Mr. Vice President.
5 weeks after giving birth to twin boys, Deborah LaFay, now 31 years old, walked into court to ask a judge to end her probation 4 years early. The former Greco middle school teacher pleaded guilty to having sex with a student in 2005. She received 3 years house arrest and 7 years probation.
Please be blunt. I know what you have to say is you know, might offend some people, but this is important. Why do you think women in combat is not a good idea?
Well, first, I think we need to stress this is quite an abstract notion. The number of women who will seek and qualify for combat specialties is likely to be quite minimal.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is January 27th and you're in tune to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to the key players here. First up, she is the host of Ladies First Radio, of the True Purpose Development Show. She's also the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit, and she's a TV personality. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Odia. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Glad to see you this morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Next up, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the man who really runs everything around here, the one and only Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning,
Mr. Elias. I didn't have your mic on. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Good morning, Dr. D. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, folks, as always, we hope to have some intelligent conversation for you this morning, some intriguing concept and some intriguing information. So let's get into this thing. First up, we're talking about Hillary versus Biden, you know, coming up. Is it too early to think about 2016? The presidential election in 2016, both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden has been somewhat coy about their possibility of running for the highest office in the land in 2016. Let me start it off with you, Mr. Elias. Do you think both of these candidates will run in 2016?
I do believe they will, Jay, and no, it's not too early. Ask the Republican Party. That's why they tried to roast Hillary Clinton the other day, man, and it backfired on them. She turned out looking more presidential than they had anticipated. So, no, I don't really think it's too early. I think it's always good to drop seeds and see where they grow.
So you're saying that basically that dog and pony show that happened in front of Congress last week, you're saying that the Republicans are beginning the smear campaign as far as a possible Clinton presidential run?
Yes, yes, of course it is. I mean, to me, that's all that was, man. You know, it wasn't about Benghazi. It was about, I mean, some of the questions they asked, especially Rand Paul, when he said, what about all the guns coming from Turkey? And everybody's like, what the hell is he talking about? Well, you know, to me, it's just something to throw against the wall and try and make it stick against her. Biden's turn is coming too, Jay. I mean, it's going to come just in whatever. I mean, looking for any little thing. So in 2016, I say look for Biden to run and look for Hillary Clinton to run too.
But I guess going back to Benghazi here for a second, because I definitely want to stay on topic, but let me ask you a question. Do you think it was fair, the questions? Do you think it was a situation where we really and truly need to know what happened in Benghazi?
Yeah, we really truly need to know what happened, Jay, but the line of questioning was way out of whack. It was. Some of it was way the hell out of whack. So we'll see.
Okay. Dr. Princess Odia, what do you think? Do you think Vice President Biden and Hillary Clinton will run in 2016?
I believe so. And you know what? Honestly, I am gearing up for Hillary Clinton. I think she is definitely a great candidate. I believe she held her own in the situation that took place last week. I believe that Obama has kind of paved the way for her. Kind of set the stage. He's the first president, I think, that really has shown emotion and connection to the people and really not up for the jibber-jab. He wants to stick to the point, and his point always surrounds with the best interest of the people, regardless of whatever situation, just as with Hillary Clinton last week when she said, you know, what difference does it make? You know, we've lost people here. You know, the way she is now is what people would have considered not a good look for a president, I believe. We were used
what do you
to people
mean?
being non-emotional about the people. You know, people
right.
would say, I remember people saying that, oh, no, we don't need a woman president because she'll be too emotional. Or she'll, you know, I can imagine her crying, you know, in certain situations. I believe because of how we've been reconditioned now as how we view a president through President Barack Obama being who he is, it was okay for her to cry when she cried the other day when she got emotional, and it wasn't like, oh, see, look at her, she's getting all emotional. It wasn't that. It was a connection, and we still heard her authority at the same time. So yeah, I'm looking forward to President Hillary Clinton.
You know, you brought up a good point. You mentioned President Obama. Mr. Elias, I mean, okay, now that the president, if the president has to endorse one of these candidates, where do you think he's going to go?
That would be an interesting question, Jay. To me, I think he'll wait and see, just like whoever gets the nomination is what he'll probably back, man. It'll be just like they wait until the last minute to see who the candidate is. But, you know, if he's forced to do it, I'd have to say he would go with Biden because Biden is his vice president.
Yeah, Biden is his vice president, but Hillary Clinton, I mean, that was his foe in 2008, and her husband, as a lot of people are saying, her husband is the reason why he got reelected, because during the DNC, during the convention, you know, President Clinton laid that down. I thought President Clinton made the case for his candidacy better than the president did himself. When he broke down the fundamentals of some of the plans and some of the things that the Republicans had out there on the table. So what happens to the loyalty to the Clintons, and especially to the former president, for really stepping up and going out there and sticking his neck out for Barack Obama? Do you honestly think he'll go against that?
Well, you know, some say it would be a hard thing for him to do, but I do believe he will do that, basically because, you know, Biden is his vice president. He's there. He's been through. He's seen what's going on. And he's been through the fire with this man. You know, whereas Hillary has been the Secretary of State. But it's like, would he, you know, it would be a hard thing for him to do to turn his back on Hillary, man. But I see him coming down that road, man, with Biden, to be honest.
Well, here, let's play devil's advocate, Dr. Prince. Do you think both of these candidates, they would have to understand that possible candidates, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but possible candidates, they would have to understand what type of predicament this will put the president in. Do you think either one of those people would say, look, I need your endorsement, President Obama? Do you think because of the complexity and just the unusualness, I should say, about this situation, they'll sit and let the president make his decision once maybe the DNC or the Democratic primaries are over?
Maybe. I you know what? That would be very, very, very tough. I mean, I hadn't even thought about that because you're right. You know, Biden is the vice president. You would think that it would be likely that he would endorse Biden. And then you have Hillary Clinton, which she's been there. Her family's been there. I don't know. That's going to be really, really, really tough. I don't know. That is a really, really tough situation. I wouldn't doubt it if he, well, he has to, well, I wouldn't say he has to endorse, but
he has to endorse. Yes, he does. He has to endorse someone. And I think that if he's still on the sidelines during the Democratic, primaries, you know, the Republicans will I think the Republicans are going to going to beat this president up until the day he walks out the White House.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so for him not to step up and endorse a candidacy or to endorse one of the candidates, I can hear it now. You know, he's a weak president. If he's a weak president, they served under this weak president's campaign, cabinet.
Do you think he would care?
I don't think so, but I think that he would have to at some point in time. It reminds me, Mr. Elias, of the John Edwards endorsement. You know, remember, people were really trying to get that endorsement, and President Obama got it towards the end.
Right.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought he got that endorsement after he had already won the primaries. Am I correct in that, or I probably need to go and do some research on that? But I thought
no,
he got it after.
He got it after. He got it after. You're right, 100% right on that one. But, you know, I mean, if you think about it, how many candidates endorsed Mitt Romney, before he won the nomination for the Republican nomination? I mean, it could go to that point where he would have to wait until he won, but, wow, you know, if he did, man, you're right, that would be a rough situation where he...
Well, you know, and I think Mitt Romney...
Who he believes.
Yeah, I think the Mitt Romney situation would be a little different because, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, as of right now, the Republicans have pretty much disowned him. I mean, it's like, you know, we don't know who he was. We don't, you know, Mitt who? I mean, basically,
yeah.
I mean, he's a forgotten man in the Republic on the GOP side. So this is a little different because you're right. You have the second in line to the presidency versus the fourth in line for the presidency as it currently stands. So I don't know which way he goes. I think it would be a tough thing for him to do. But let's break down the politics of the two. I mean, where is the difference between the two? I mean, because if you're going to, you know, campaign against each other, I mean, what do you campaign on? I mean, both of them are, you know, a part of the current administration. I mean, where is the daylight between the two of these people?
I'm sorry, Jeff, you were talking and I had to step out.
I'm sorry about that. I was saying, well, where is the daylight, Dr. Prince's idea, between the two? I mean, if they're going to run against each other in the primaries, they're going to have to set themselves apart. Why you want me versus him, or why you want me versus her? How can they set that standard or precedence when both of them are pretty much the same? I mean, they're a part of the same administration. How do they do this?
I don't know. I mean, Jay, I think that question is rhetorical. I mean, that's a tough call. I think it's a very tough call. It's an obvious tough call, and it's going to be a very – I'm sitting here thinking, like, wow, I would not even like to be in Obama's shoes when that comes around. Because it is a very tough call. I mean, Hillary – he's – at the end of the day, he appointed Hillary to his staff. You know, he had a lot to do with that. You know, Biden, the people chose, but – I think that it's going to be really tough, really tough. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I say that he would just, and that would be up to him, and it would be interesting to watch how it unfolds and how he strategically plays this one out. I always say he's a master strategist. It'll be very interesting to see how he does this one. because Biden will still be in office when he's doing what he's when the campaigns are starting. Biden's going to be there, and Hillary's going to be there. So what do you do?
Yeah, and that's good. And just to correct the record here, you know, the president did choose Biden to serve on a ticket, even though he was on the ballot, but he did choose him to be his running mate. It's 14 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call-in number is 347-850-1272. You can call, be a part of the conversation. All we ask is that you be brief and of course, be respectful. Let's get to a guy that definitely knows what we're talking about and has some information. I'm pretty sure he can shed the light on this thing. Let's welcome in Jerome Esprit from SpreeRadio.net. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Doing great,
morning,
man. We're talking about Hillary versus Biden. I know you mentioned earlier on one of the shows that you didn't think Hillary would run or she would win. So what's your take on this? What if they had this dream matchup on the Democratic side? What say you?
I don't know if it's a dream matchup, though. I guess I don't see it from the point that everybody else does. I think we're so used to having, like, television or media programmers for political candidates, and they never work. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it never pans out to be that way. So it's, I'm not sure if it's a dream matchup or anything, but I don't know. I mean, I listened for a little bit, but I didn't. I was trying to figure out what the what the push was. Now, if you look at Biden, for example, Biden is a lot better candidate for a couple of reasons. One, because the president picked him, right?
Right.
There was political pressure in the Hillary thing, but I don't think he liked her, even though the president's probably pretty even, so he's probably a pretty cool person, and he gets along with her, and then they develop the relationship. But Biden, on the other hand, was a perfect pick for him. So if you want to talk about it just in a kind of looking at it from the president's position when he was running, I don't know if you guys remember, but before he picked Biden, Biden was defending the president like crazy when crazy people like Lieberman was making racial statements against the president. It was Biden, and he was running against him, and Biden was defending him. He was like, yeah, I don't know him, and I'll see him later. Kind of thing. Like, Biden was out there. So Biden was a perfect candidate. Not only was he smart, he's been in the Senate for a long, long time, and the vice president actually runs the Senate. He's the head of the Senate constitutionally. Biden was a perfect pick for vice president. So not only was his temperament and all of that stuff in play here, you have to also remember that his deal with the president, according to the folks that are watching the stuff, is that he wanted to be a part of the administration. So Biden knows more what's going on than Hillary does. So he is the person that is going to forward the agenda that Obama did. Now, Hillary will be a whole different cat if she was president. So I think when it comes down to running, you're going to see a different push from one to the other. They're apples and oranges. They're not one of the same coin. It's just because they're part of the same administration don't even mean that they think alike.
Interesting. That's an interesting point.
Biden spends a whole lot more time with the president than Hillary ever could.
You know, that's a good point. You know, but one of the things that we look at, and you're right, it's when we say dream matchup, a lot of liberals would love to see the two. I've read some articles where people would love to see these two face off. But Mr. Elias, you know, we say this, and I know it's early, and I know how our colleague Jerome feels about polls, but, you know, the polls are showing at this point, as far as a popularity contest, you know, Clinton is in the mid-60s, and Biden is in the high 40s. So, you know, even though I think from a policy standpoint Biden would probably be better, I think that people would love to see Clinton in office because then, you know, two things. A lot of people felt that she should have won the Democratic primary in 2008. And then the other part of this is that, okay, we could possibly not only, you know, coming off the heels of having our first African-American president, now we can have our first female president. So do you think that those things will play a factor when people begin to start really thinking about this thing, Mr. Elias?
Well, I looked at the polls, too, and once again, they did say 67%. She has an approval rate of 67%, but, you know,
I still say that Biden is going to put himself in position to be the presidential candidate, man. I do believe that. I mean, if you look at what he's doing right now, the way he's acting, and he's not acting like the old Joe where he would say, make and do stupid, make stupid statements and say stupid things. He's putting himself in a presidential light. So I think, like I said before, I think it'll be Biden, man. Honestly, I do.
You know, Dr. Princess O'Dea, he was really working the crowd doing the inauguration. I mean, people said he was out there kissing babies and taking photo ops, and he was really preparing himself. And, you know, unlike Clinton, Biden is really, you know, he said, look, I'll take a look at it when we get to that point. So his son has even said that Biden would take a look at this thing. So, you know, versus Clinton, I know last year she said absolutely not, she would not run. She's kind of softened her stance on that a little bit. So to me, I can see where these two are going to face off. But here's the question for you. If they do face off, do they go negative? Do they go negative? Negative, I mean, I don't know what they would say. Jerome brought up some things, and hopefully he can, you know, break it. You know, Jerome always breaks this stuff down for us, so he knows all the ins and outs. That's why he's a political strategist. But do you see them, Dr. Princess, or do you, you know, doing negative advertising if they decide, if these two go head-to-head in 2016?
You know, it's the name of the game.
Okay.
I would like to not see that. I mean, I think that them coming from the same camp, if you would, as Obama, and it being more than about the political game, I believe we'll see more of candidates if they were to choose, those two were to run. I think we will see more campaigning that really focused on the issues itself as opposed to attacking one another. Versus how it's been doing, how they've been campaigning. It's a very nasty game, but that is the name of the game. So you never know. I don't know if Hillary has something that is so strong against Biden that she'd want to bring the nasty stuff out, or vice versa. Because at that same time, they're both involved in the same office currently, and they're going to be through their campaigning. So I just, and you know, I don't see it being so nasty. Let's just say that. I do not see it being so nasty. I see it being handled a lot more strategically than it has in the past. I really do.
Well, Jerome, now, one of the things that I think we can go on record to say that Clinton is more hawkish. Do you think Clinton is more hawkish as far as with war and foreign policy versus Biden? Because, you know, there were that whole thing they were talking about when the president decided to go and do the surge. You know, Biden was somewhat against that. And then we know where Hillary voted as far as the Iraq war. Do you think, I mean, you talk about policy differences. I mean, that right there, in my opinion, is one. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that Biden's perspective probably was more. I don't think that he likes to send people to war. Like I think
right.
that was kind of the thing, right? So,
yeah.
When, I mean, remember his son is there in the reserves, and
yeah.
I think when it comes to sending troops, Biden was a little bit more apprehensive of it. But at the
right.
same time, you know, it was. I think Biden is a whole lot meaner than Clinton.
Really?
Here's the thing. Again, I guess people don't see the president as being mean, but the reason that Rahm Emanuel and Biden were perfect for the president is because both of them were mean as can be, and
yeah.
the president, and they were really nice to the president, which speaks to the president's personality,
uh-huh.
right? If all the mean kids are really nice to that guy, like he is not. And so I think it's a. You have to remember in leadership, everybody has different personalities, right? And so people who have power or people who are in control are really always nice to little kids and animals and all of the others. They're really nice people. Biden is a people person. He is really nice people, but that says nothing to where he is as a leader.
Right.
Or even as a politician. And that's why people were questioning him when he said, I'll see Lieberman in the Senate shower, in the locker room. And they kept saying, what do you mean by that? And he didn't break a smile on his face. He said, I'll see him later. Because the senators, he's known for this. Senators would walk the other way when they see Biden walk down the hall. I mean, this was his, that is his history in the Senate. Nobody played with Biden. So behind closed doors, that is a very well-known fact about Joe Biden. That's why when he had to go deal with the senators, when the president says, hey, go talk to the senators about this fiscal cliff deal, it was Biden. They said, well, he's a good negotiator. Biden don't play. Like, I don't know what impression everybody else gets, but for me, I mean, from watching this, it looks totally different because Biden, his personality is not suited for that. And I also want to say that you guys talked about meanness. I think that during the political season, all of that hit, all of the negative stuff, the not really American kind of stuff about the president, that stuff came from Hillary. I think we're all forgetting about the primaries, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't know. Oh, you trust me. I mean, she was nasty, you know. Shame on, what did she say? Shame on you, Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, trust me, yeah.
All of that stuff came from her, and you remember, especially in minority communities, people did not like Hillary just from those nasty attacks and Bill Clinton coming out and saying in South Carolina, Jesse Jackson won South Carolina. Like, so what? Right? A black man, well, whatever. Like, he said that. And so when it comes to the threshold in Democratic primaries, Biden is going to be more endearing to the people who don't like Hillary. The polling says Hillary now because the polling right now is a favorability rating of all the people who like Hillary. If you look at anybody, everybody who they have on TV, from Chris Matthews to all of them, they were big Hillary fans to begin with. Right? The establishment Democrats like Hillary a lot. So they've been touting her for who knows how long. They didn't even like the president, and they liked Hillary. So this
now,
is not surprising because the marketing is for Hillary anyway.
I think Chris Matthews, Jerome, I don't know about Chris Matthews. I think Chris Matthews has always been in the pocket of Barack Obama. I thought,
no,
I mean,
he hasn't.
From everything I watched. Really? Okay.
No, you know what? I'm going to give you, and I know I said this on my show before, but I'm going to give you this analogy of Harriet Tubman, right?
Okay.
You know Harriet Tubman carried a gun, right?
Right.
And so she killed a lot of slaves, right? Because when she came and said, you know, I'm going to show up. There's 10 people who want to leave, and she came with 12, and two of them saying, I don't know if I want to go. She shot them. And you know why she shot them? It's because there are always people in your camp that are there for opportunists. And then she knew that if she left them, that they were going to get tortured and going to tell the direction. They were going to sacrifice everyone else. Now, Chris Matthews is a Democrat. He supports the Democratic platform. But he is highly critical of the president. I know you didn't see him. I mean, I know you saw him lose his mind on the first debate. All he lost, but he's out. And if you watch how he plays with Republicans, even on his show, he uses politics for fodder. That's what Chris Matthews does. But he is a staunch Hillary supporter. Over the years, I've always noticed that he really likes Hillary. So he brings on a lot of people who love Hillary. Ed Rendell.
Okay.
If you listen to those guys when they talk about the president, Ed Rendell was like, he should stop going after Wall Street. And then once the president got footing and his poll numbers went up, both of them on his show said, well, I guess he was right. They were against the president on something because they're, like, being critical of him. They're not critical of Hillary.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, listen, I mean, and that's just something that if you say so. I mean, I don't know. I see it differently. But, you know, hey, I mean, you know, bottom line is you have the professional eyes, and if you see it that way, then that's the way it is, I guess.
But let me put it to you this way because I don't want you to defer from this. But I want to say this. As a strategist, you watch out for friendly people, like media people, when you do media. So Chris Matthews said, how come the president has not gone on his show? He will never go on Chris Matthews' show.
Okay.
And Chris Matthews said that. He said, well, how come he won't come on my show? He's not friendly to the president. I don't care what impression he likes to give everybody. He just likes sticking it to other people. He's fiery. That's kind of the person that he is. But he's not supportive of the president, not by any means.
Interesting. Still, yes, I'll give you the last word on this set.
Whether it be Hillary or Joe Biden, man, one thing we do need to do is take control of the House, man, because, you know, something, and still watching this party of no, and the party of no is killing this country. So, folks, I implore you, 2014, get out and vote, and vote your conscience, and look at what this Congress is doing, and vote right.
All right, well said. And on that note, it's time to step out and take our first break. All right, coming up, folks, we're going to talk about a double standard when it comes to female teachers sleeping with their male counterparts. You know, this is a very, oh, man, I just hate talking about this because I think there's a double standard. It's the Serious Side. It's Sunday morning. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The Trevor Project is the leading national organization focused on crisis and suicide prevention efforts among lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. If you're feeling helpless or hopeless, there's always a safe place to turn. Call the Trevor Helpline at 8664-U-TREVOR. It's free and confidential, and you can talk to someone 24 hours a day. Or visit the website at thetrevorproject.org. Be proud of who you are.
Blind.
5 weeks after giving birth to twin boys, Deborah LaFay, now 31 years old, walked into court to ask a judge to end her probation 4 years early. The former Greco middle school teacher pleaded guilty to having sex with a student in 2005. She received 3 years house arrest and 7 years probation.
36 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best, our call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. We're talking about a double standard when it comes to female teachers. Is there a double standard when it comes to teachers sleeping with their male students? Now, you heard the lead-in, talked about Deborah LaFay. Let's hear more about that on this real quick sound bit, and we'll talk on the other side.
5 weeks after giving birth to twin boys, Deborah LaFay, now 31 years old, walked into court to ask a judge to end her probation 4 years early. The former Greco middle school teacher pleaded guilty to having sex with a student in 2005. She received 3 years house arrest and 7 years probation. Court, her attorney argued that she has been a model citizen for 6 years and deserves a break.
It's hard to have a life with a family and where you're home every night at 10 o'clock.
The reason she needs to stay on there is because she doesn't like it, doesn't want to do it. It is the punishment she's getting, so she needs to continue to receive that punishment.
State Attorney Mike Sinecor told the judge letting LaFay off early would be a slap in the face to the victim and his family.
The victim was under an intense amount of pressure and a great deal of anxiety about the trial and what that would do to him, and his mom understandably shared that, and they asked us to enter an agreement.
Sinecor says the 14-year-old victim okayed the plea to avoid the publicity of a trial. He also pointed out that the police stated there would be no early termination of probation, a term the judge decided to ignore.
It's giving weight to what the normal procedure is in these courts. It's Fitzgibbons, I'm going to grant your motion.
You know, I tell you what, Mr. Elias, this type of stuff just chaps my ass. I'll just use that term because it really pisses me off. And here's a lady who was, once again, convicted of this crime. You know, she got 3 years house arrest. She was on 7 years probation. And then they went in and got, you know, what, the remaining, what, 4 years or 5 years waived. I mean, this is nonsense. Is there a double standard when it comes to female teachers sleeping with their male students?
Well, yeah, yes, Jay, there is a double standard. You know, it's society, man. We look at, you know, a woman that sleeps with a lot of men as you degrade that woman, you bring her down to another level. We look at the man that sleeps with a lot of women as a, you know, as somebody getting his groove on, man. And it's even done in parenting, man, if you think about it. Most parents, you know, how many, you know, if a girl is sleeping with a guy, I mean, it's downplayed, it's the most horrible thing, but most fathers would say, that's my boy, he's doing his thing. So it's the way society looks at it as a whole, man. I mean, I hate to say it, but when I was in school, there was a teacher sleeping with a student. I mean, this teacher was gorgeous. At that time, I was like, wow. I hate to admit this, but I was like, how can I get in on the act? And I hate to admit that, but I felt about it as a young man.
No,
as
you
an
don't.
Older fan.
You don't hate to admit it. Go ahead. You don't hate to admit it. Go ahead. Stop it. Just stop it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr. Elias. I'm sorry.
Honest, as an older man, I think it's wrong for a teacher to take advantage of anybody. I mean, you're put in that position, and you're supposed to educate this young man, but not educate him in that way. But you're supposed to educate this young man, and, you know, you're supposed to, the parents are putting their trust in you to raise this young man, to give him his education, not to raise him, but to teach him all the things you need to get to the next level. So, I mean, that's how I feel about that, man.
You know, Dr. Princess, I did, you know, you're the female, lone female here on the panel. You know, the thing that really just chaps my ass about this is the fact that if a male does this, oh, my God, we're going to throw the book at him. He's going to go to jail. You know, he's the lowest scum of the earth. You know, they even have jailhouse politics for people like that. They have to move these guys to separate units because even criminals think that's horrible. But yet we have a lot of these females, and most of them are blonde and blue-eyed, that get off. And it's ridiculous. It's a double standard, and I just get tired of this kind of nonsense. What say you? Jesus Christ.
Okay. 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 First of all, watch your mouth. We're on the serious side. You said a couple of curse words there.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sorry.
Yeah, because I know you get me. Okay, I'm just going to say this. I mean, I happen to believe that, yes, there is a double standard, and I don't think it has to be just with the blonde hair, blue-eyed either.
Oh, really?
Because, no, not at all, because when I was in school, I went to school with, like, Jalen Rose and all those the big basketball players, and I'm telling you, just not specifically referencing Jalen Rose, so don't nobody quote me on that, but I'm just saying the teachers slept with guys, you know? And I, you know, it was like common knowledge that the ladies got with the guy basketball players and all of this, or football players or whomever. That's what they did. But the police weren't all over it, you know. I believe that when men do something, somehow, I mean, it does hit the fan, and it's a big deal, and that's because some girl blew the whistle. Because I believe if a guy blew the whistle, when a guy gets a teacher, he wears a badge. It's like, whoa, man, I got teacher so-and-so. You know, if he's not blowing the whistle and telling the cops and crying. But that girl who a guy comes after her, it seems to be assumed that 9 times out of 10, that guy pursued her in a way that was negative, and then she blows the whistle. When the whistle is blown, the book is thrown. We ought to make that a saying. If the whistle is not blown, the book is not thrown. That's just how it goes. I mean, come on, let's be real. But I do think society looks at it a different way, that women get away with it and men don't. But it's usually because the woman blows, little girl or the woman blows the whistle.
Okay.
Or the little girl's parents blow the whistle or something.
Well, I think it's more, I don't know if it's a little girl, but anyway. I know that you're passionate about this, Jerome. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not that passionate about it.
I know you always bring it up. I know you always talk about
and you know
types
why?
Of things.
It's because I have in front of me about, and I stopped taking them for the month. I have about 15 or 16 cases right in front of me. And I think, you know, North Carolina, Kentucky, Texas, Utah, California, Virginia, South Carolina, New York, Ohio. We have all of these cases that happen, and they are white females. They don't really get no national news time at this at all, right? And, yes, there is a double standard. I am with LES on this one, though. I don't know what I think about it because I think little boys handle the stuff differently. I think all of these boys are getting blown out by their parents, where little girls feel scorned and they'll go tell. Like, I think there's a little bit difference in how the genders handle this stuff, but I don't know what to say about, you know, women who are 34 and 32 and 24 sleeping with students. I mean, they're not all of them are really that old, and you know, and I wouldn't blame it on the students. I mean, think about it. Think about why strip clubs exist. Like, the issue is always that guys they'll try to get at you. That's hormone time. You're talking about any kid around 16, 17, 18 years old. No, seriously. Like, you can't really say, you know, the males are not going after them either. Like, so, you know, I mean, the only reason that was a problem in Kentucky, for example, is because the student was under 18 and the woman was a teacher, right? So, but in Kentucky, age of consent is 16 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, it depends. I don't know what to say about it, but I don't think it's, I think from guys' point of view, it's not as tragic from a guy, and I know that's going to sound cynical from a guy, but technically it's not tragic for guys.
I know you're upset as a parent. That's a little bit different. But
exactly.
If, you know, when you remember that as youth, and I think we all can, having teachers that we're like, you
yeah,
know,
it's true.
That we're looking at. No, I'm saying, like, as a boy, I have a bad example there. I was in 10th grade. This girl just got out of college. She had to be in her early 20s. She had to be 20, 21. You don't send her to no high school. I think every kid in our class hit on that girl. They sent her to an elementary school within about 2 weeks. No, serious. They were hanging out after class. Nobody likes English like that. But anyway.
You know, but I think, and you know, and yeah, you're right. I am a little upset as a parent, but I think I'm more upset just because of the double standard. It's just the fact that, you know, we're talking about, and I know I'm going to make some of our female listeners upset by saying this, but we talk about equal rights. We talk about treat me equal, but wait a minute. There are times where I want you to look at my feminine wiles. There are times where I want you to look at me as a female, because then it's going to be beneficial to me. I think that's the problem for me. It goes back to the conversation we had about, you know, a man's right to choose. You remember we had this show. We talked about, you know, the female has all the power. And yeah, the ladies called in and they were up, you know, we're carrying the baby, but you did not make the baby by yourself. So then where is the man's place in this whole thing? And so, Mr. Elias, I think that's the reason why I'm annoyed by this, because here it is once again, because they're females, and most of them are blonde-haired and blue-eyed females. This is the reason, in my opinion, that, you know, think about the case. We just heard this whole thing about, Deborah LaFay, whatever her freaking name is. Bottom line is she received 3 years house arrest, and she was complaining because she had to be in the house by 10 o'clock, and she was on 7 years probation, and they lifted this? Now, I guarantee you, you can go find cases where males have slept with female students and they're still rotting in jail. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, Jay, like I said, once again, you know, if you had a son and your son had a nice-looking female and he slept with her, would you be
female teacher? Are you asking me if my son slept with his nice-looking female teacher?
No, it's nice-looking female girlfriend.
Well, that's different, Mr. Elias.
Let me finish my case.
Okay, all right,
now,
fair enough.
Would you be upset if he slept with his nice-looking girlfriend?
No, I wouldn't be upset behind that.
Now, would you be upset if your daughter slept with her nice-looking boyfriend? That's my point, Jay. That is my point. My point is,
Excellent analogy.
Even in our own society, we look at it as that. Even you just said, I wouldn't be upset if my son did that, but I'd be upset if my daughter did.
Well, let me get some clarity here. At what ages are we talking? What ages are we talking, Miss Elias?
Okay,
15
or 16.
Jay, can I ask you not yet, Dr. Prince.
Let me say this. You know, Mr. Elias, I will get you back on Wednesday. I'll just leave it at that. Yes, Dr. Prince Zodia, yes.
I just want to ask you, how many teachers did you hit on and who took your advances when you were in high school? I'm just going to be quiet from there. I just want to say that.
You know, the thing is, I'm a little different case because my mother taught at the same high school. So, I mean, you have to eliminate me from that because, trust me, people were watching me every day. So I couldn't really get away with a whole bunch of nothing. But to go back to what Jerome said, I think maybe this will answer your question. I mean, you know, I told a story about how I was trying to look under my art teacher's dress and my head got stuck under the desk and she caught me. I mean, listen, boys' hormones they're out of control. I mean, that's what happens. But that still doesn't pardon the fact that these females, these blue-eyed, blonde females are getting away with this. You know, I didn't have time to go back and research.
Stop saying the blue-eyed.
What do you mean stop saying that, Dr. Prince? So do you go back and look at the cases?
Okay, the cases that are known, but guess what? I know a whole lot of black teachers who slept with high school students. So, and they weren't caught, and they're still walking around today free as ever. So, I mean, come on.
Okay, but we're talking about the people who were caught.
Okay, but let's just say there's an issue, or can we agree that there's more so an issue of a double standard in the way, in any case, whether white, black, Chinese, or whatever case they are, there's a difference in the way the woman is treated versus the man, possibly.
Exactly.
That's a discussion. Okay,
I agree with that.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Most of them are in this case, Dr. Princess O.D. You're ignoring the fact.
Go back
and look it up.
Those are the ones who blew the whistle. Those are the ones who got the whistle. The whistle was blown. But a lot of these black teachers do it. Come on. I know for a fact.
Okay. Go ahead,
Joel. Hey, I agree with you. It is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed issue, too. You know, I know we like to not talk about that, and everybody gets a little squeamish. I don't know why they do, but the reason I said that I keep track of this stuff is because if they were black and on TV, please, there would be an epidemic, and what do we need to
do with
our teachers? We'd have, you know, not only background checks on all of your teachers, but we make sure they were married before they had students. You know, we'd be doing some crazy stuff. And these women are married with kids. They're actually sleeping with multiple students at the same time. This one woman was photographed, caught on somebody's phone in the gym, and she is not getting jacked for that. And it was like three students. It was four students. Two was watching, and two was having sex with her. And this happened this week.
Wow.
She was young, blonde, blue eye, and she is not going to get jacked for that. So, yes, it is true that black people get sentenced differently than white folks do. They're getting off easier.
So what's your comments behind that, Dr. Princess, I bet you?
My comment is, who blew the whistle? The white person blew the whistle.
What does that have to do with it, though? I mean,
wait a minute, I can answer that. It was caught on the phone, and so, you know, little boys, I don't know if you ever watched Chelsea Handler's show, but she said, white boys, and this is her, not a black person saying this. She said, little white boys at that age, and even when they're in their mid-20s, are little jerks. And so they probably were just kind of bragging amongst each other, and somebody else saw it.
Exactly. But I still don't get Dr.
Pritchard. No, I guess there's a difference of technology. I'm just saying, that was the going thing when I was in high school, that teachers did that. Teachers did it, they did it, they did it, they did it all the time, and nobody's whistle got blown, okay? Now, if there was a girl who was in that situation, I admit, the cops and everybody was all over it because somebody's daddy was mad, okay? So I'm just saying, when it came to the girls and the lady teachers, I, as they say, boy, bye.
And I find that difficult to believe because we're all around the same age. And, you know, our teachers, I don't remember.
My senior.
Okay, whatever. Our teachers growing up were completely different. I mean, you know, I never saw our teachers do anything out of context. Now, my mother told me, because she's a teacher, she was a former educator, she said, now, if you walked into that teacher's lounge, you guys would have lost all respect for us. But outside that teacher's lounge, I mean, they were the epitome of what, you know, you want an adult to be. You know, bottom line is they were our parents during the day. So I don't remember Miss Champion going around sleeping with elementary school boys. And like Jerome just said, this past week, bottom line is that she's not even going to get charged. I mean, this is ridiculous. And you can't justify that. And who blew the whistle, to me, don't mean a damn thing. What does that have to do with anything?
Okay, this is the thing. I did miss the age difference between the two.
Elementary school boys.
Oh no, that's different. No, elementary is different.
It's different if it's high school boys.
I mean, I was talking about high school, but elementary is definitely different. Nobody's teacher should be touching me.
They shouldn't do it if they're in high school. What are you talking about?
I mean, what I'm saying, high school, it could be 18, the student's 18, and the teacher's 22. It could very well be that. It could be 17 and 20, 22 or something like that, when I was talking about the girl and the guy or something. But, elementary, that's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah. You know, there's a story about Rachel Nicole Heeman. Now, she's 34. She's a forensic science teacher from North Texas. She was arrested at her home after being accused of having an inappropriate relationship with a male teenage student. According to NBC DFW.com in Texas, the relationship took place this year from February, this is last year obviously, last year from February through May, and although the student was listed as 18 years old on the police report, the age of the student at the time of the relationship remains unclear. Texas law prohibits teachers to have sexual relationships with their students, regardless if the student is considered an adult. When you are in school, Dr. Princess Odea, you should be learning It ain't sexual learning. You should be learning your ABCs and all that other stuff. It's ridiculous. And nothing you can say is going to justify that. And you brought a good point up. I mean, listen, I think that's human nature. I don't want my daughter sleeping with anybody before she gets married. Now, I got to be real about that. That's probably not going to happen, but that's just a daddy. That doesn't have anything to do with the fact that, well, my son. I don't know. You got me on that point. Once again, I'll deal with you on Wednesday. Go ahead, Dr. Principal Day.
But, you know, I'm not condoning in any way.
You got me, Miss Elliott.
Teacher sleeping with the students. As politically correct, no, it should not. It would be better not that way. But I am also saying that it happens all the time, and I was more so referencing your point that it's the blue-eyed blonde hair, as if they are treated differently or handled differently in certain cases. Maybe so. Okay, we heard Jerome, and as he has done research on that matter. But it is, the fact does remain that it has been done for years, teachers sleeping, high school teachers sleeping with high school students. Like, that is like, I mean, that was common, very common. And no police were involved unless somebody told and they were disgruntled about the actions that they took part in, okay? When we're talking about the political aspect of it, protocol, absolutely. Teachers teach. Keep yourself, keep your emotions to yourself and allow for the students to do what they need to do successfully. And they don't need emotions involved in their venture of, you know, getting their education at that point. We get it, okay? That is what we would think more favorable. But I still feel, I know you've done some research, but I still feel that that's been an issue for years. And I don't think it's been a big deal, okay? I don't think people have made a big deal out of it.
Right. Just before the top of the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. 347-850-1272 is our caller number, 347-850-1272. We have about five more minutes on this set. If you'd like to get in and have a conversation about this we're talking about, is there a double standards when it comes to female teachers sleeping with their male students? And let me ask this question. Well, first of all, Jerome, it sounded like you wanted to say something. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I'll try to make this really quick. My mother is a teacher also, and I actually was in one of at the school one time talking to one kid, and it was at a carnival, and next thing you know, I have like eight little girls around me. Didn't really pay any attention. My mother comes over and say, "Could y'all stop talking to my son?" And all girls start giggling. I didn't see that coming. And I looked at her, and she goes, "Yeah, these girls are a little fast," is what she said. That's my mother. But what happens is when you are in situations like that, you still have to remember girls are a little manipulating at that age, too, like when they start getting high school age. And so I'm not saying one way or another who's right and who's wrong, but I am just saying sometimes the girls are going at the teachers as well. It's not just the guys, but I know as guys, you know, I'm sure I flirted with a lot of my teachers. I'm not even going front on that. I'm with LES on that. Whether they were receptive to it or not, well, some of them were. But the issue is that it wasn't like I was going to sleep with them. So I'm just saying, like, at that age, when you're in high school age, that's a whole nother story. Like, that's a whole nother story. But there is a definite double standard when it comes to female teachers and how much the court systems are willing to deal with them, because that's a societal issue when you talk about white females generally. I mean, black folks get sentenced like crazy for little things, for stealing pizza, and you can, you know, be Dominique Strauss-Kahn and embezzle billions of dollars or something, and you'll get, you know, a couple months on house arrest.
Wow. You know, and I tell you what, and if you hear that little ringing in the background, those are messages that are coming in, so I think I'll try to read some of those towards the end of the show. Let me just pose this question here before we close this set out. What about college students? I mean, Mr. Elias, would you have a problem with male professors sleeping with their college female students?
Well, when I was in college, Jay, it happened there, too. So, I mean... And like Jerome said earlier, man, some of the women were, man, throwing it at the college professors, man. And there's a case in Texas, UT, where a female slept with another, a female coach slept with another female, and they kicked her out of the college. They told her she can no longer coach anymore. She's done. So, was it right? Was it wrong? I mean, and this happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Jay. This just didn't happen. This happened 10 years ago, and they kicked her out. So, I mean, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, man. At that time, you're a consenting adult. Should she have been kicked out?
Yeah, but I think it's also a situation where, you know, it almost worked as fraternization. You know, I mean, there are some situations like, for example, in the military. We're going to talk about that coming up next set. But in the military, you know, an NCO or a sergeant in charge cannot sleep with a private. I mean, that's considered fraternization. You know, it comes to at work, you know, usually workplaces frown upon a boss sleeping with one of the people that's under his or her charge. So, I think that's the reason why she was let go. But let me ask that question to you, Jerome. Do you think it's okay for a male professor to sleep with a female student?
No. I mean, I think it's the problem with it is you can't stop people from caring about folks, right? And there's an issue with staying too close in proximity to people. So we'll talk about that in the next set, definitely, because it is how the art of war works is why you don't let the enlisted hang around. There's an officer's stand opposed to them hanging out with the enlisted. There's reasons for that. And so when you have governance or power over someone, yes, that's a problem. People try to sleep themselves up positions. Some people sleep with their teachers to get better grades. But what if they're not in the same class? You know, are you still saying that they can't sleep with each other because one is a teacher and one's a student? I don't know. And what if somebody goes back to school who's been out for a few years and around the same age as a teacher? You know, and so there's a lot of things to be considered in college, college level, but that happens a lot in college, I think. I think that happens a lot in college. I'm just not really too sure because you have teacher assistants, you have grad assistants, you have people who are in the age group of the people who they're coaching and teaching. So that has to be a little bit more, that has to be a little bit more trying, but yeah. I'm sure there should probably be rules in it, but it's probably tougher to enforce.
Yeah, you're right. Dr. Prince Zodillo, I pose the same question to you. Do you think it's okay for a male professor to sleep with his female college student?
I'm going to say it depends on the age. I mean, it's to each his own, but when you're in college, you're grown. And as I believe nature takes its course, I mean, that's just to say that someone, you know, they have to stop how they're really feeling. I think if they like it, I love it. But that's between them. I mean, nature will take its course, honestly. So long as, you know, the age is, you know, okay.
You know, I'm going to break the rules here a little bit. Because I know usually we read comments towards Chatterbox, but I want to read something that Easy put in the chat room. He says, I was dating a girl who was suspected of having sex with a certain teacher. He was my history teacher and got jealous and failed me. He said, true story. I mean, you have those situations as well. I mean, I don't know. I just think there is that line that you just can't cross, and if you are in a position of authority, I don't think you can do that because, once again, you know, who's to say the professor's not saying to the female student, well, listen, if you really want to get that A, then you really have to give up that A. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just one of those situations where I think that there has to be rules in place, and you can't allow these types of things to happen. Jerome, I'll give you the last word on the set.
Yeah, I agree on the power play of it. Now, if you're found, that's extortion anyway. Like, if you're found pressuring anybody for anything, you can go to jail for that. That's kind of separate to me.
Right.
But you're right. If that's what you're doing, there should be some criminal charges for that, for blackmailing and all of that other good stuff. But just for finding out that someone slept with somebody, that has to be hard. That's got to be hard, like a difficult threshold to pass. To kind of prove that. And by the way, before you move, I just want to tell you that there was a study done by the University of Montreal trying to find out how porn kind of affects people, how it affects men and all of that other stuff. They had to scrap it because they can't find any younger kids who have not watched it.
Wow.
So our society is changing. Like, it's not like we're not sexualized to begin with. So I don't know. I don't know how you figure that out when you can't really do studies trying to find people in their 20s who haven't seen porn.
Yeah, exactly. All right, look, Mr. Elias, look, it looks like we did get a phone call. Should we take that one before the break? Do we have time to take that one before the break, or should we wait till after the break?
No, we got time to take that. That's the advisor, Gary, Jay.
Oh, hey, good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. What's your comment on this particular topic?
Well, here's the thing, and I think it has all to do with the whole power structure of the whole thing. Teachers, first of all, as leaders, should have a little more self-control about even getting themselves in the position to have this type of thing happen, where they might fall in love or want some student. And typically, from the accounts that I know, because I do know people that it has happened to, it starts with that physical attraction, which we are fully capable of withstanding the physical attraction. You don't have to put yourself in that position. And as leadership, it shows a lack of leadership for you to allow yourself to be in that position.
Interesting. Yeah, and I agree with that. I definitely agree with that assessment. Gary. You know, hey, listen, if you don't have anywhere, hang out. We'd love to get your comments on the next topic. And the folks, you can pick up the phone and call us, 347-850-1272. We'd love to hear from you as well. All right, coming up next, folks, we're going to talk about this whole situation dealing with females in combat. It's been approved. But I tell you, I don't know about this one, folks. We'll talk about it. It's the Serious Side. It's Sunday. Glad you're here with us. We'll be right back after the break.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tom Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
I love you. Why did you have my life rearranged? Oh, when the winter came, I knew that I was with someone special. When you were special to me, darling, don't you know this is our doom. From my heart to eye, I was singing to you. Didn't you know that I would have shared
Blunt. I know what you have to say is you know, might offend some people, but this is important. Why do you think women in combat is not a good idea?
Well, first, I think we need to stress this is quite an abstract notion. The number of women who will seek and qualify for combat specialties is likely to be quite minimal.
Welcome back. It's 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the serious side of the J. Rouse Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our phone call, our number is 347-850-1272. You can call us. Be a part of the conversation. Let me reintroduce everyone. Let's get an opportunity for people to say good morning to, once again, my main man, Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir, and how are you?
Doing great. Dr. Prince Zodib, say good morning to all the peeps, please. I think we lost her. She's
Good morning.
And, of course, the one and only Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net, our main guy. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, good morning.
All right, folks, listen. Final set here, and we also have Gary the Advisor with us. Gary, say good morning to people. To the people. We may have lost Gary if Gary wants to come back in. All right, listen, our third and final set, we're talking about females being allowed to be in combat. Now, the Pentagon has lifted the ban on females serving in combat. Now, let's talk about this, because on one hand, I think that my colleagues are at a disadvantage, because I don't think any of you guys have served in the military. So it's always interesting to get a civilian's point of view on how this rule takes place. And me, since I served in the military, I definitely want to give my perspective as far as how I see it. So let me start off with you, Dr. Princess Odea, since you're the only female here. When you heard that the Pentagon lifted the ban, so now women can now serve in combat, what were your thoughts?
Well, I felt like it was to be expected. I know a few women who have gone to war and would like to have a desire to do what they want to do. I say, why should we stop that? Allow people to be them. So I was good.
So you have no problems with that. So you don't see any issues with that in the combat situation, having a female out there on the battle lines? You don't see any problems with that whatsoever?
No, I don't. Because if a woman feels that she is capable of doing that,
she should have her own free will. And I think that no one should tell someone what they don't, you know, what they need to do or not. If she passed the test, I'm sure they have some, you know, they go through boot camp, et cetera. Maybe they ante up her boot camp process and put her to the test, get her prepared. Why not?
Well, I like the way you're so nonchalantly about it. Okay, no problem. Still, ask your thoughts.
I don't agree, Jay. I think that just from my standpoint, I don't want to see a female in combat.
Okay, why?
Just the aspects of it, man. Just, you know, because of who I am, I mean, a woman getting shot at, going through all the stuff that, you know, you have to, and then chemical warfare and everything that comes along with combat, me being who I am, I wouldn't want to see my mother and my sisters in that. So, I mean, even though we have equal rights, and, you know, I'm not against equal rights or any of that, but, my God, man, I just couldn't stand to see that as a man.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for you here, Mr. Elias. I mean, if you are in a job, if you are in the military, the job and the focus on the military is to be in combat. I mean, you know, everyone is what we used to call in the military 11 bang bang. I mean, so if you are serving in a unit or in a company and you cannot really and truly perform all its duties, is it fair for female soldiers to get promotions and things of that nature if they cannot go and face war? The male counterparts, there's a possibility they can lose their lives in war. Why is it okay for the males to be able to face this type of stuff and the females can't?
Well, you know, just from being a man, I don't want to see that happening. You know, and that's not saying that they can't do the job. I'm just saying from my standpoint, I don't want to see it. That, you know, that's an important point. If you're saying if they can't do the job, then why should they promote it? Well, they can do the job. They just haven't been given the opportunity to do the job. But as a man, I just don't want to see that.
Okay. Let me go to you, Jerome, your thoughts.
Yep, I agree. I don't want to see it. But I have to say, I guess I don't even know where to begin with this. I guess to say that women can't do what men do and blah, blah, blah is just kind of an argument. We're not saying that they can or they can't. I am saying that, you know, that area must be, it's like being in a men's locker room. You know, you don't know what it's like being around a bunch of testosterone. And the issue is that I would always be concerned about women's safety around a bunch of guys, even if you're on the same side, right? And so you got to take in consideration all these lawsuits and things that are coming up now about the chauvinism, sexual harassment stuff that's going on in the military and how they're working that out, opposed to even just being on the combat field or being captured as a POW. I mean, there's a lot of things that are being taken into consideration, but I don't think that we all have the stomach for having a female hostage where we're like, men, yep, you know, you knew that when you came in there and blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that imagery looked to us. So I don't know how I feel about it, but just kind of as a civilian in leadership, if I had to make that decision, I would do it very sparingly. I wouldn't put women in those situations because it's kind of like, you know, throwing a female on an all-boys squad, knowing that they have those, what do you call it, those showers. You know how you have those big shower.
Yeah,
you know,
shower bays and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah,
I know what you're talking about in the barracks.
Everybody just walks into the same one, and women have the separate ones. Got to say, they don't have any privacy over there either. So I don't know. When you talk about hormones and all of that other stuff, that's a can of worms. Like, you know, we just talked about teachers and students and how to separate them and all of that. I think that when you start talking about mixing genders in there, there's a lot of things to be considered.
You know, and you brought up an excellent point from a civilian standpoint, and I'm glad you brought that up. Let's think about this for a second. And we all know this. I mean, we're educated people here, at least I think I am sometimes. Bottom line is that the female body is made up differently, okay? I mean, we have different muscle masses, the whole nine yards. That's almost like saying, let's put a female out there and play professional football. Do you think a female can go out there and take those type of hits? Do you think she can deal with that type of physicality? I mean, Mr. Elias, when we're talking about having females in combat and females can do the job, let me give you this scenario. You are out there on the front lines. You get shot, all right? The enemy's coming. Do you think a female can drag you 100 or so yards to safety? Do you think that when you get engaged, do you think when you get engaged into a firefight and you have to have someone on the 50 caliber machine gun, do you think a female could truck that thing 25, 30 miles?
There's some males, Jay, in combat that can't do that.
Well, but that, but you know, you can say that, but I'm saying on the norm, there are men out there who can't play football. I mean, that's not saying anything. Uh-huh. I mean, the bottom line is that when you're talking about putting females in combat, and look, I'm all for women's lib, and all women's rights, and ladies don't get upset at me, but let's be honest about this here. Let's just think about what we're saying. That's like putting a helmet on a lady and said, okay, you are in top physical shape, you have no muscle, I mean, you have no body fat, you can get out there and play football with these males. There's no way.
Exactly, Jay. So, but what you're saying is that because they can't drag a man or drag a 50 caliber machine gun, they shouldn't be in combat, right?
I'm saying, you're right, absolutely. I'm
okay.
saying the physical requirement.
What about the man that's given a chance that can't do that same thing, though, Jay?
I don't understand your point. What are you talking about, Mr. Elias?
What you're saying is that they shouldn't be in combat because of their physicality. Well, there are some men out there that shouldn't be in combat because of their physicality.
And they're not. And trust me, and they're not. If they cannot perform, they're not. So I know where you're going with this. Well, wait a minute. Then the females should have the same opportunities. I doubt very seriously. You know, yeah, they open this up, but I doubt very seriously we're going to see a lot of females on the front lines. And that's what we're talking about. Because females are in the theater of war right now. There's no doubt about it. You know, you think about the Jessica Lange situation, Lynch or whatever her name was, the whole thing with the sister that was caught up and she was a prisoner of war. But what people don't understand is that those women were support soldiers. In other words, they were in the back. Behind the front lines. They were taking supplies to the front lines, but then they were turning around to go back. You're talking about putting women out there on the front line with combat military soldiers, and I don't think it's going to work.
Well, how many wars are fought on the front line anymore, Jay? Is my question.
There are a lot of wars fought on the front line. Hand-to-hand combat, you know, we think about the AID, the soldiers, man, getting blown up by all these improvised explosive devices, Mr. Elias. I mean, yeah, there are boots on the ground. You can't fight. Listen, it's a new dawn. There's no longer can you sit back and sit in the Air Force and blow the hell out of everything. You know, war's not fought in the jungles anymore, man. They're fought in urban areas, close quarters. Mechanized, you know, look, being mechanized infantry is one thing, but you can't sit here and say we're going to take tanks and run in here and blow this place to smithereens. You can't do it.
Well, like I said, Jay, I don't agree that a woman should be on the front line. Because just because of, but, if they, I mean, again, you can't sit there and tell me there's not any woman that can't do the same thing that a man can do. You know, some of them are built like that.
I'm willing to say that, you know what, there are exceptions to everything, and I'm pretty sure there's probably a woman out there that can bench press whatever, but on the norm, they can't do it. Go ahead, Dr. Princess O'D, I hear you. Go ahead.
Well, I think that we shouldn't try to assume what somebody can't do.
What you mean not assume? I mean, we're talking, okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question, and then I'll give you the floor. You're right, we shouldn't assume anything. Do you think that there's a female, here's the question, do you think that there's a female right now in the continental United States that can play NFL football?
Okay,
full
listen,
season.
Let me tell you.
No, answer my question first, and then I'll give you the floor.
If a female has been allowed to go
It's either yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, the floor is yours.
Okay, so I think that it depends on however we push ourselves to whatever limit. I have, I know a young lady right here in Michigan who was the only girl on the football team, and she went through hell, went through everything, but she played all the games they played, and they went very far. It was a very good team. People said she couldn't do it, and she did it. And she was out of shape when she started it. So you can't tell somebody what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. You don't know.
Okay. All right. 3-4-7-8-5-0-1-2.
I'm sorry. I will say one more thing. We always set the boundaries ourselves. The teachers, and because of the rules and guidelines, they'll say, the girl can't do this, the girl can't do that. Some girls buy in it. Some girls don't. Some girls choose to prove that they can do whatever they can do. and they go through whatever length they have to go through to make it happen that way. So we have to respect that.
You want to fight,
let her fight.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to also have to think about the people that she's serving with, okay? We can sit here and talk all this nonsense all we want to, but once again, first of all, I don't think there's any female out there that can play NFL football from beginning to end. I don't think so. I just don't think so. And if that's the case, you know, I don't think there's a female boxer that can get out there and hang with someone at that same level. You know, you're talking about, and this is the argument that happens, Jerome, that sometimes we as just normal Joe Blows, there's probably a female out there, there are a female boxer that could probably knock my ass out. But that's not what I do for a living. That's not my profession. I'm saying all things being equal, both of us train, both of us have the expertise in that particular area, that 99.99.99% of the time, the male, especially because of our physical buildup, will win those battles. And to sit here and say, to have a female in combat, and then let's not even talk about the fact that what if she's out there pregnant? You know, one of the big things in the military, and I'll give it to you, I know I went to you, Jerome, but I'm passionate about this. You know, one of the things that we used to always run into in the military is that any time that we were going to be deployed in certain areas, female soldiers would get pregnant. You know why they would get pregnant? Because then they would come home. They would blue bark them home. Or they wouldn't go in the first place. So the floor is all yours, man. I'm sorry I went on too far.
No, you know, actually there was a case in England, in Britain, that this woman was deployed and she was pregnant, but she didn't know she was pregnant. She got pregnant when she was home on leave, came in. She was actually on patrol or something, felt sick, came back, found out she was pregnant, sent her home. But that's not, I don't want to go that route about, you know, females being pregnant. I think you're right as far as like NFL or hockey or, you cannot put women in certain situations just because society, we won't hear of it. Like I said, we'll do some things out of character for women if we know that a woman is getting tortured. I'm sure that'll be judgment on the battlefield. I know women are going to cry about this and say, well, they should treat them like their male colleagues and all of that. No, it won't even, it's not even possible. Our attachments aren't the same. Guys are never going to be women. Women are never going to be guys. Testosterone is different than estrogen. So your motivation and all of that stuff is going to be different.
At the end of the day, the power of our mind, wherever we choose to believe we can go, we can go. Yes, the genetic makeup is not, we all get it. We're all different. You guys have a different body makeup than we do. But there are also... and I think over time and time again, women have proven if they set their mind to it, what they could do.
What?
And I don't think hold on. It's not up to men to sit around to discuss what they think a woman's going to do.
Here's the thing, because you interrupted me on this, but I just want to tell you this. We're not arguing the fact that women have the potential to do anything. We're not arguing that. I'm not saying that. I definitely didn't say that. I didn't say that they could not do some things or this or that. I am saying to you is that by default, I mean, I can tell you, a woman that I know that's a sheriff, a fight broke out in front of me. She's in uniform with a badge and a gun, and a fight broke out, and I said, I got this. And she looked at me and laughed, and I said, no, you're not jumping in the middle of that. That's guys. And she said, you know how many guys would push me out in front of that? And I said to her, I am saying, generally, I am not a policeman, but technically my normal reaction was to do that anyway. It's not my issue to actually argue that she couldn't have pulled her gun out or hit somebody with a nightstick or tased them. I know she could do that. I know her, right? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that those decisions that are made as you go along, those reactions are a whole lot different. And then when you have guys in closed quarters like that, guys are horrible. Right? Guys are perverts. They do all kinds. When you have a bunch of guys in situations like that, you can't tell me that the stress on one or two women won't be great either. I don't know how you regulate that when you're telling people to sacrifice themselves to go to possibly kill somebody else or be killed. I don't know how you regulate how their movements are. That adrenaline is crazy, so I'm sure that there are other things that you need to consider. I'm not saying that they don't have the capacity to do jack. Nobody's talking about that.
But I know most of the time this argument takes
this. I disagree that no one's talking about that. I disagree with that.
Well,
I think
you
that
can, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, like, I said nobody meaning me, that it's not the issue really. I'm saying from the standpoint that we, our reactions are a little bit different in close quarter situations, and I think that there's something that needs to be considered when it comes down to it. I know one officer said, you know, guys walk around here naked. They do all, you know, he just said, you know, we sometimes don't take a bath for like 3 months. Like, his issues were just being in close quarters. So I don't know. I mean, I've never been in the military. I don't know what those are. But I'm just saying that whole environment has to, you can't change that environment to make it women friendly. You can't change locker rooms to make them women friendly. It does that.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't know if I'm wrong. But I think that our reason for discussing it was different than that. Then we're not just talking about the hygiene and the way we do things. We're talking about the ability. I think that's what we're talking about. Am I wrong, Jay?
We're talking about their ability, but you know what? All that plays a role, Dr. Princess O'D, because, you know, for example, when I was in the military, you know, infantry soldiers couldn't have females in the barracks. You know, let's say you're out on a patrol. You have to stop. You have to sleep in pup tents where there's two people to a pup tent. And like
okay,
you talk about,
fine.
Jerome.
Okay, I think to cover up to say that all this discussion has more to do with how they're going to
operate.
It's
not a cover-up, it's fact. What are you talking about?
You guys care less about how we're going to operate. Who gives a care? Apparently, a lady, just from one thing we could think of, honey, for her to even consider going to the Army and going to whatever level there, she already has a different mindset, okay? We're not talking about Mary Poppins here or the Girl Scouts, okay? We're not talking about that. These are women who feel that this is their calling and mission. They want to serve the country, and they are not saying, don't take us through boot camp. Oh, God, oh, my, please.
Boot camp and being in war is a completely different. You can't even compare the two. It's not even a comparison. You're talking to a civilian. Going through boot camp is, look, let me tell you something. There are females that are physically fit. Boot camp is challenging your ability, the mind against you. That don't have a damn thing to do with you being in war. That have a damn thing to do with you having to carry a 230-pound guy to safety. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Or for you to lug around a freaking, you know, 34-pound freaking weapon.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
But did you not say that they are already, if they have to go through whatever you guys went through for training, nope, they're not, what I'm saying to you, if they can make it through that, and I'm sure in those cases, if they can't make it through XYZ, they are already eliminated or put in certain positions based on the ability that they've shown. So they won't even, you don't have to worry about them being on combat unless they've successfully at least made it through the training. And if they are capable of that, then they're capable to be on the front line, because they've proven it already. So your points are invalid all the way around.
That's making an assumption that the training has all aspects of war in it.
Okay, are we really going to have political theater this morning? Come on. It's saying what it's saying. They went through the same training you went through. If you, being male, decided to go through certain levels of training and you didn't make it, guess what? You weren't going to certain places in that barrier, whatever you call it. You're not going so far. So you make it and you get to be, or even if you are appointed to be on front line, if you have made it through the necessary things, privy. Period.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
They
you know
are
what?
Trained to battle. Everyone, males are trained to battle. So that means if she's a woman, no one said that she's going to be exempt of that training to battle.
I don't think you're understanding our point, though. I don't think you're understanding what we're saying.
No, now
you're
I'm
not
understanding.
Saying that.
Now I'm asking, what is your point? I don't think there is a point after that. I mean, what is
no, no,
the point?
I think
what
you don't understand what the point is. I think you don't understand what the point is. What we're saying, what I'm saying in particular is this. If you take a female, a female can be a really good football coach, for example, right? She can know, she can study X's and O's, and she can understand the game. Now, when you talk about disciplining and camaraderie in practice, now you may have some problems with some male players having that much testosterone, I'm telling you, aggressive men in those situations are a little bit different. They're not going to abide by whatever rules are on the field, even though you can coach and you can draw up X's and O's and you are a good armchair quarterback from watching it on TV. It is different being in those confined little areas from attitudes from men. That's what I'm talking about when I say testosterone estrogen issues. I'm not talking about the fact that they can't pass a test or that they don't have the physical strength to do something. I know Jay said that, and that's true. That has some validity to it. But what I'm saying to you is that you got to add in personality and being in that environment. That environment is not that dog unhealthy for anybody. So they run guys out of there. There's a lot of guys who jump out of that piece just because men, people in those situations are lost their mind. You know what I mean? It's like saying, you know, women are equal. How come the men and women aren't in the same jail cells? We could do this all day and neutralize everything when it comes to gender, but I am telling you that there are things that you are not considering when you talk about guys and women in close quarters, and you got to watch out for that because military structure has a whole lot more to do with the outcomes than they have to do with you fighting that stuff internally. If you are at war, you need your soldiers to take command and move forward. You don't need those internal fights when you're trying to get your troops together. And one of the things I was saying earlier is, you know, everybody and their mother, well, every CEO and business person and military person reads The Art of War, for example, right? The reason that you don't have the officers eat with the enlisted men is because if the enlisted men think that they can beat the officers, they will never take a command from them. So they separate them, right? Because the guys who are infantry will hurt the guys who are officers if they think that they're peers. So they make them salute them unconsciously. They don't let them talk to them. They don't let them size up your officers. You do that for a reason. So you don't break down a military structure just because you think that, hey, everything should be fair because the rules say this.
Where is the military structure broken?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering, where is the military structure broken? Are we talking about just because there's a female there? I mean, where is the things you pointed out are personal issues. It's the things you pointed out.
No. You're talking about feminism stuff. Like, you're talking about the difference between gender role stuff. I am saying to you is that in closed quarters, you don't control that as much as we think we do just because that we want it to be better. I think that if the military was structured different, yes. I mean, you can have women. I'm not against women in combat. I am talking about the camaraderie of having to control that environment. That environment is going to be horrible. That's all I'm saying.
But you think it's horrible. Maybe the female that is on combat could give good care of it.
We might want to find a female who's in combat to tell you
Maybe once they allow, now that they're going to let them, maybe we'll find a whole bunch that really don't care.
They're already there, though. They're already there.
Yeah,
We're not saying that. They're already in combat. The problem is that they can't get certain promotions or they can't get in certain positions because on paper they're not allowed to hold certain positions. So we're talking about promotional issues more than we're talking about them being in those theaters. They're there, but they're each, from what I understand, is that each unit is assigned females because even when at war, they don't search female citizens, like, or not citizens, but females. If they go house to house, they'll send the female surgeon in, the soldier in, to search the woman. So they at least kind of try to respect that even in wartime when you start dealing with civilians. So they do have women assigned to units. They don't train with them, but they are assigned to combat.
Well, what we're talking about is the woman going to combat. The woman going to combat is different than going in and checking someone's underwear. So we're talking about two different types of things.
They're already there.
I know they're there. So now we're talking about them going on front line. And now things will be different because now if the consideration for them going on front line is etched in stone, then apparently they're going to have to implement what wasn't even an issue or requirement before. Now they're going to have to prepare them and do things differently now as it relates to training. And they'll, I'm sure, make it tough as heck, okay? They'll train with the men and some. You know, just because they got the okay doesn't mean that they're like all, you know, building happy joy about it. I'm sure the women that even dare make it through training would have gone through hell on freaking earth to get there. I'm sure. And we'll probably hear about it in books down the road. But anyway. So, I mean, there's a lot for us to consider, but what we are talking about is them being on the front line, not, you know, doing door checks and out checks.
Well, I mean, look, women are on patrol. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, you hear from some of the women that are on patrol, and I don't want to sit here and, you know, before I get all our female listeners mad at me, I'm just speaking from a perspective of, you know, I spent 14 years in the military, and, you know, the bottom line is that I've seen it all. And to sit here and say that a female soldier, would I rather be next to a female soldier in a foxhole or a male soldier? You know, I mean, me, I would prefer to be next to a male soldier in the foxhole because of some of the things that we've talked about this morning. You know, Mr. Elias, we talked about, you know, you even said that you wouldn't want to see a female, you know, in that type of situation. And it's in the military. One of the things that my soldiers used to complain about all the time when we were on details, and a detail is, you know, you go on detail, you do work, you're out, you know, doing whatever. It could be, you know, cleaning out a field, or you could be painting or lifting, whatever. But anytime when it came to going out and getting some of the big things off the truck, guess who were told to do that? The male soldiers, because the females couldn't do it. And we're talking about females who train 3 days a week, has physical training 3 days a week. And so it's like, okay, you go get this. And a lot of the guys used to complain, saying, wait a minute. You know, why are we in a situation where when it comes to the heavy lifting stuff, we have to do these things, but yet and still, more females are getting promoted in front of us? I think you remember that case from a few years back, maybe last year, the female commandant, where they were saying, you know, she was in charge of this military school, and a lot of the people that had gone to that school were, you know, veterans of war. And they were like, look, how can you tell us about war when you never stepped foot on the battlefield? So I guess, Mr. Elias, if you look at it from that perspective, maybe this works out. I don't know.
Well, you know, Jay, I'd like to read something that Green Beasley wrote in the chat room, and it struck me. He said, okay, imagine two female soldiers were captured and repeatedly raped. Could a reactionary response be influenced by emotions? That's what I mean by, you know, when I first said that, you know, I wouldn't want to see a woman in that position, and that's exactly what I mean by that. You know, what would the emotional response be if you see, you know, and the way that today's society is with the podcast and the broadcast and everything that's going on, how would you react to that, man? It would be just, to me, it would devastate me, man, and just to see that, man. So yeah, that's why I said what I said, man, when I said that I don't think that I could take it as a man to see these things happening to a woman. So,
and you're right, we are breaking protocol because, you know, people are really commenting on this, and I read a comment in there by St. Clinton. He says, look, we'll have to do things differently if we have them Negroes flying out those planes in the military. And I get what he's saying, but I don't think people really or truly understand. And like I said, Jerome, I thank you for this because I was trying to figure out a way to make the civilian comparison. And I go back to what I said at the beginning of this conversation. You show me a female that can play NFL football for 16 games plus the playoffs. You showed it to me. And the bottom line is that, and that's what we're talking about, folks.
Oh,
we're talking about, yes, we are, Dr. Princess O'Dea. You never served. You haven't been out there. That's what we're talking about.
Okay,
we're talking about having the physical ability to do the job.
Okay, well, if they made it to one game, they can make it to two. However, that person chooses to train themselves or whatever.
There's no, oh my God, wow.
Right.
Go ahead, Jerome.
I was saying that even if you put them at punter or kicker, they still have to deal with being in a locker room. They still have to deal with the misogyny.
Okay.
They still have to deal with all of the other stuff in there. And so all of,
well, how about this? How about everybody mind their own business and if the person wants to do it, let them do it. I mean, who cares?
Okay, but if I own the team, I don't have time for all of that. I play to win. So you have to say to yourself, you know, is this an issue of fairness or effectiveness? And I did see the comment where it said that about black folks flying planes in the military. But here's the thing about that in the time of history is that the military was very much segregated, and they needed to change their mindset as well. And they didn't have respect for black pilots until they started, you know, until the Tuskegee Airmen came up and did what they did. Now everybody wants the escort from the black pilots, right? They did prove themselves outside of the realm,
But technically, they just weren't thrown into the fire with all of the racist folks that were oppressing them. And that's why, even during World War II, that a lot of black people stayed in Germany. Because they were like, we're getting treated better over there than we are here by our own military, right? The people who are getting captured on the German side are being treated better than the enlisted black men. The POWs were being treated better. So when we start talking about a climate change, that's a little bit different than talking about the fairness of equality. The fairness of equality, yes, it should be there, but I'm saying the first couple of people who go in that piece is going to have it pretty bad. And like I said, it is more like the fight is that the women are going to be able to be promoted and receive their pay increases to the jobs, opposed to saying that they haven't been in combat. They have been in combat. I don't think that's an issue. But I guess the question of the show is should they be let on the front lines? And I think that's a whole nother. I think that question is totally different. Being on the front lines is a little bit different.
Exactly. I agree with that. And that's what we're talking about. Being on the front lines is completely different because, you know, it's a whole different ball game. And, you know, like we said, we have, I think there was like over 150 or 140-something females who have died in combat. And trust me, I mean, look, I don't want to sit here by no stretch of the imagination to minimize their service because what they perform and what they do, there are a lot of great military females out there. There's no doubt about that. I'm just talking about the fact that our body structures are made up differently. You know, when we take our physical training test in the military, it's called a PT test. You know, it's a different standard. You know, for males, in order for them to max out and receive the maximum for a push-up, I can't remember what the thing, maybe it was 80. For a female, it was, you know, 60 or whatever. I mean, the thing is, it's just we're made up differently. And you cannot dispute the fact. From a mental standpoint, hey, you know what? You got us. But when you're sitting there talking about true brawn, I mean, you know, and I love what Val seen, and once again, we're breaking protocol, but I love what she put in the chat room. You know, Layla Ali. Layla Ali is one of the baddest female boxers out there. But you cannot put her in. You can put her in the ring with the number 150th ranked guy, and she's going to lose that fight. Serena Williams. Serena Williams has won 15 Grand Slam champions. And even though she serves up in the, you know, the high, you know, 110, 119, something like that, I tell you that she cannot go against Roger Federer or any of these top players. I mean, it's just a fact.
And the thing that I'm telling you, okay, we get it. But guess what? Let each individual prove his own position. Why don't we let that happen? No one, okay, so what? That's the history. Maybe there is time for history to be broken. Bravo, we all get it. We can't beat that horse, and we can't even beat that horse anymore. It's over. But I'm telling you, Jay, let each person prove his own position. If they get killed in combat, guess what, people? We're going to have an incline in casualties as it pertains to women. Maybe they are just, that's the risk they chose to take and the way they wanted to go out. Who knows? But I just, you know, the whole compassion thing, the man being so concerned about how the lady feels and how she's going to smell in the locker room. And yes, there's rape and there are things like that. And guess what? The race has been history the whole time. Did it stop the movement and intention for the women who want this to stop? No, they're saying we want to take it to another level. Well, then let them do it. Who are you or anyone else to rid them of that opportunity? I think not. Okay, fine. I'm sure they're more sure than you are of the things that they will face. I'm sure they know that already. I'm sure they're very clear of it because they're living it. And they have still pushed for a greater position. And those who choose to go there, let them go there, and no one else, I feel, has anything else to say about it. Really.
Silly, I heard you moaning. You have something to say?
Not actually, Jay, because this is coming from Dr. Fogelia when she's the main woman that says, treat me like a woman.
Right.
Give me my feminine wiles. Give me my what I'm supposed to do to be a woman. I don't believe in paying for dinner. I don't believe in this, but it's like a double-edged sword with you, Dr. Odilia.
It's not a double-edged sword.
I cannot finish first. it is a double-edged sword because you're fighting a woman's cause, saying that they should have the right to do this, and then they have the same breath to say, hey, treat me like a woman. Now, you can't have it both ways. If you're going to fight for a woman's cause and a woman's fight for all that stuff.
I'm sorry. I have to break you right here. So you're going to tell me that in order for them to serve, then they have to be disrespected and raped? Listen to what I just said, and let's follow this again. Initially, you said to me, I am like a double-edged sword because I am the same lady who wants to be treated like a lady, and I'm the same woman that's saying that a woman can be on combat. So you're right, I am the same woman. I'm the same woman that's saying, hello, men, I want to be on combat. My intention is to serve in the country. I can't help it that I've got breasts and I've got an AWS on my rear end. I can't help that, but can you please respect me? Don't touch my breasts, don't touch my ass. And let me serve my country like you have a right to serve your country in peace. So, yes, it's two of us. We are strong, but we are also ladies. Respect that.
Okay, but don't champion the cause where you tell me that I need to treat you like a woman and I need to pay for dinner because there's no difference in what you're saying. You're saying to me is that I can go into combat, I can do anything a man can do, I should be allowed to do anything a man can do. Well, then do everything that a man does, Dr. Aziz. Don't champion the cause for not doing everything a man does, and then when it comes down to time for you, to reach in your pocket and pay for dinner, or you take a man out, don't come to me talking about I'm old-fashioned and I don't do these things because I'm old-fashioned. Look, if you're old-fashioned, be old-fashioned. If you're not, then don't be old-fashioned. That's all
okay,
I'm saying.
So the old-fashioned woman is not signing up to be on combat. But she is still
exactly.
A lady. She's still a lady.
You're still championing the cause to be a new school woman. I don't understand it. I don't. I truly don't.
I'm saying, you know why? Because I believe that all people have rights. I believe that all people have the responsibility and should have the right to make their own choices. I may want to sit and I may want my door open. The next woman may not. But her interpretation of what is treating her like a lady is different than what I think treating me like a lady is. Does it make us any different from the gender that we are, female? You know, so I don't really care to go there outside of the fact that if a lady chooses to be on combat, then she should be able to do it in peace and without the disrespect done. It shouldn't go together.
Well, there's disrespect done everywhere, Dr. D. Not only is just women, there's men that's been disrespected too. That's the point that they're trying to make right now. It's not just a woman being disrespected. It's that soldier on the front line being disrespected. I mean, and it's not going to be a case where they're not going to be disrespected. It's the fact of how much they're going to be disrespected.
Well, I guess we'll have to make stricter laws, and they'll have to put things in place. The bottom line is the people that have petitioned for this, they're already there, as you guys indicated earlier. They're there. So they know better than we know what they are dealing with, and they're still pushing forward. So I say congratulations for those women who choose to remain ladies and serve. And some of them aren't, but they realize themselves as gay. And however they choose to do, whatever they do, let them do it. And I don't feel that they're disrespecting the front line. They're ladies. They're women with their own power and choices. And I believe if they say they feel they can do it, it's mind over matter.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Jerome, let me give you the last word on this set.
No, I don't want it. No, I'm kidding. And you know what's funny is that, I'm laughing at you, Jay, because your response didn't come again, because that is just damn confusing. But here's the thing. The issue is like you cannot blanket statement fairness across the board without taking in the dynamics one way or another. So you can't say you can be female in the front line or not female in the front line. That's not that much of an option. The issue is how the soldiers are reacting. They're all soldiers. And so we're just talking about the difference
that men react and women react, and I think that's problematic. But I do think that, in fairness, it is cool that they get to apply to do those jobs that they were locked out of because of the rule that women cannot go into theater when there's a war. They can't go into the front line. Although they're already there, that rule was stopping them from having equal pay, and that's cool that they're getting equal pay. Now, do I believe that they should be there? Probably not. But that's me as a leader. Some leaders just make calls, and it's calls. I think you have to take other things into consideration.
All right. As far as equal pay, military people, they're on a pay grade, so it depends on time and service and things of that nature. And since they are in the theater, they do receive combat pay. All right, folks, listen, we're going to step out. We're going to come back. Before we go, shadow boxing a whole lot more. We're not done yet. It's the serious side, but we're winding down. Don't go nowhere.
Thank you. Rewind.
Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
Casey Anthony says she's worth only $1,100 and she's filing for bankruptcy. She was acquitted of murder charges in the death of her two-year-old daughter back in 2011, but it cost her. She now owes her lawyers $500,000 plus several hundred thousand dollars more to law enforcement and to the IRS.
There's so much talk about people being overweight and obesity. It begs the question, what would you do if your child was overweight or even obese? One mother decided to take action to get her 7-year-old daughter slimmed down when she learned that her daughter was in fact obese. But that set off a major controversy when she wrote about her tactics in a national magazine.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. All right, listen, Casey Anthony, worth less than $1,500. Now, I know that most of us are saying good riddance to her ass, but, I mean, come on. I mean, Ms. Dr. Princess O'Dea, what can she do to make money? She was acquitted, even though I think she should be rotting in jail. What do you think she can do to make money? We lost Dr. Princess O'Dea. All right, Mr. Elias, what do you think?
What can she do to make money? Like most people do, they write a tell-all book, or they write their story out and put it in a movie, man. That's what you could do. There's nothing else to say.
You know what? I love Jerome's sinister laugh. I want to hear what Jerome has to say. Jerome, what can she do to make money?
No, you're not getting anything sinister out of that. I laugh because, heck, if I know, of course, a bunch of things ran through my head, but I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm gonna go with the safe bet with Elias. Write a book.
Oh man, this is difficult. Okay, so now you heard about the lady. She has a 7-year-old daughter on a diet, and people are really upset because she is really counting everything this young lady eats. She can only have one cookie per every 2 days or whatever the heck it is. I mean, is this extreme or what? I mean, come on, it's a 7-year-old, Dr. Princess O'Dea. Shouldn't she be allowed to enjoy some of the finer things in life? She's just a kid.
Well, she's a kid, and maybe the family, maybe the grandmother knows that their family has a tendency to get big. And guess what? Twinkies and all of that stuff is not good for you at all anyway.
They taste good, though. They taste good.
Yeah. Well, not good for you. It's very horrible for you, actually. So I'm not mad at her.
Okay, well, it tastes good. All right, so now, next week, Super Bowl. All right, guys, I'm not sure who picked what last week, but we know the Super Bowl is against San Fran and the Ravens. God, I almost had a brain fart there. All right, Mr. Elias, who you going, man, for in the big game?
Man, I'm picking San Fran, but I'm hoping that Baltimore wins. But San Fran is the better choice.
Well, because of Ray Lewis.
I'm going to go out on top, but if he doesn't, then San Fran, that boy, that quarterback, Kaepernick is something else, man.
Okay, all right. What about you, Jerome? Super Bowl, it's the biggest game in the land. Who you going with?
I'm going to go with the halftime show of Beyonce Chuck for $200. All right. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Oh, man.
Because I'll definitely watch that part. But the Ravens, I'm going to go with Baltimore. I do want Ray Lewis to go out. When somebody says they're going to retire from something, I always want them to go out on top. So, Baltimore.
Yeah. Even though, based on his checkered history, you don't have a problem with that.
Whatever said the checkered history, what did he do on the field? We always judge people by odd things, but we never say that person was great at what they did.
Okay,
you know,
Jerome,
your doctor,
I'm sorry.
Probably got a C in school, and he's still your doctor, and you don't really care to look at his grades.
You know what? And on that note, thank you, Jerome.
Thank you, Mom.
All right, folks, it is time for Chatterbox Final Thoughts from the chat room and beyond, because we have people listening from all different places, and we have 3 participants this morning. Let me start off, though, with something that Kavina Man wrote. He says, look, I don't really see a policy difference. I don't really like or dislike either. That's when we were talking about Biden versus Hillary. Jerome, who do you have?
Yes. All right, I have a Facebook comment, Jackie D. What a lot of people don't know is many women are, in fact, in these combat front lines.
but do not get recognition if hurt or in acts of heroism because they are not combat eligible. I feel this action was taken because of the mounting lawsuits filed by women against the military for discrimination. It will be interesting to see the argument people will state against this.
Huh, that's a very good comment. What do you have, Miss Elias?
I got Donna. When she said Rand Paul is too radical, no Tea Party candidate will be the nominee. That's why you see gender-sounding Republicans stop being a party of stupid.
She also wrote, Newt Gingrich said if Hillary runs, the Republicans can just forget about it. And I know you have one more, Miss Elias. Who do you have?
I have Green Beasley. When he says, I don't know if I want to read this one. He says, sex should be private and therefore never revealed unless conception occurs. And we're talking about the thesis of being unfair with it.
All right, folks, we'll be back with our final comments after this short news break. We'll be right back.
Rewind. Rewind.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. African leaders are holding a summit in Ethiopia today, and the conflict in Mali will likely be the main focus. NPR's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reports the gathering is to be followed by a global donor conference on Tuesday to raise money for the international military intervention in Mali.
Initially, a 3,300-strong UN-mandated African force was scheduled to head to Mali later this year to try to dislodge well-armed jihadis in the north. But with the surprise Islamist push towards the capital earlier this month, West African military chiefs now envisage a minimum of 5,000 regional troops to join the French-led intervention in Mali. An additional 2,000 battle-hardened and desert-savvy soldiers from Chad are on standby with Nigerian troops at the Mali-Niger border, ready to cross into Islamist strongholds in the Sahara. African leaders are seeking a parallel political roadmap to restore peace to a divided Mali. Ophelia Christophson, NPR News, Bamako.
The U.S. is expanding the support it's giving to the French military in the fight against Islamist militants in Mali. The Pentagon says it has agreed to fly tankers to refuel French jet fighters and bombers. The U.S. has already been helping to transport French troops and equipment. Mourners in the Egyptian city of Port Said are burying their dead today. Almost three dozen people were killed yesterday after a court handed down death sentences to 21 people accused of taking part in deadly violence at a soccer game last year. The protesters were furious that people from their city were held responsible for the deaths of 74 people at the game. The funerals being held as Cairo sees a fourth straight day of clashes between police and protesters unhappy with the government of President Mohamed Morsi. Scores of people are dead in a devastating fire at a nightclub in southern Brazil. Authorities in the city of Santa Maria now say at least 200 people were killed and hundreds injured in the fire. Emergency workers still searching for victims. The cause of the fire has not been confirmed, but local media reports say it broke out as a band using a fireworks display was performing. Starting today, you may be paying more to use your credit card. NPR's Allison Keyes reports it's the result of a federal court ruling.
Last year, a U.S. district court ruled that merchants can impose a surcharge of up to 4% of your purchase price on customers paying by credit card. The charges are supposed to equal the cost of processing the credit card transaction, but it's unclear how many merchants will implement them. A spokesman for the National Retail Federation told NBC News not a single merchant it spoke to plans to impose the charges. Debit cards are exempt from a $7.2 billion settlement agreement between credit card companies and merchants, and credit card surcharges are banned by law in 10 states, including California, Maine, and Texas. The settlement is being appealed. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Well, folks, another show in the books, and we appreciate you guys hanging with us. But it's time for our final thoughts, and ladies are first. Dr. Princess Aldea, final thoughts.
Well, I, first of all, enjoyed the show today, and I like being able to stand up for women in combat. It was a good show. I think at the end of the day, I mean, today we talked a lot about how women were treated in some variation and, or not, and I just want just to invite everybody to one truth. We are all equal at the end of the day, and it truly is mind over matter. ladies, do your thing in combat. And I hope that we will create, one day, have such a system where it doesn't matter who is violated in high school or where, at any point in their life, that they can be reprimanded equally. And it's not a discussion of the blonde hair, blue eyes being treated differently or getting served justice in a different manner than another race. So, anyway, have a great day, everyone. See you on Facebook, Dr. Princess Adelia. I love you guys.
Thank you, Dr. Princess Adelia. Jerome, final thoughts.
All right. Well, I was going to mention the credit card rule that was in effect, but I guess I'll say this. Whenever you hear Newt Gingrich or any Republicans telling you to do something, you know you have to do the opposite. That's all I want to say about that Hillary Clinton thing, because they know that she won't win. And a new law came into effect, another new law came into effect today that makes it illegal to unlock your cell phones or to switch carriers. That goes into effect today. It'll carry a fine between $2,500 and $500,000, in some cases prison time. So the U.S. Copyright Office and Library of Congress, to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, makes it illegal for customers to unlock their phones without permissions of their carrier.
Wow. Wow, man, that's good information. I love what you're doing, too, and people appreciate that, too. Jerome always gives us a little bit of information before the week for us to think about. That's a good one, man. Appreciate you, brother. Well, I didn't know that, Mr. Elias. All right, man, Duke gets the first and last word here on the serious side, man. Final thoughts, big guy.
Well, folks, I like to go back to when we were talking about the teachers having sex with the kids. You know, no matter why you look at it, what goes on with it, it's wrong for an adult to take advantage of a child. So when we look at this in the full spectrum of things, you are talking about a person of power taking advantage of a person of non-power. So to this fair, I know we have a double standard in the world that we live in, but just think about how it affects the young man when he's taken advantage of as a child.
You know, remember when he said a binder full of women? Remember Mitt Romney saying that? Listen, ladies, I don't want you to think that I was against anything that you guys represent or what you guys want to happen. My comments in regards to females in combat, I've been in combat, but I've actually served much time in the military. And I can tell you this, that, you know, it will be very, very difficult for a female to perform some of those physical attributes that's needed if they are in a serious combat situation. I go back to my civilian comparison. Show me a female that can play 16 games in the NFL season. As far as the teachers are concerned, let me tell you something. The worst thing you can possibly do as a person when another adult trusts you with their children and you violate that trust, I don't care if you're male, female, black, white, green, or yellow, your ass should be thrown in jail, and there's no such a thing as you serving house arrest for 3 years and then get the rest of your probation vacated. The reason why it happened was because she had blonde hair and blue eyes. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of a J. Wow.
So for Dr. Princess Aldea, for Jerome, for Mr. Elias, I'm Jay. Enjoy the rest of your work week. And remember, folks, if it's Sunday, it's the serious side. Take care, everybody.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.